Well, Occupy Wall Street is now in its second month, and we've seen the movement spread to cities across the U.S. We even saw a global day of action on October 15th. And as the time keeps going by, the momentum grows. We've watched one side of the political field do everything they can to mock and to discredit the movement, and we've seen a lot of people on the left, including the president himself, try to hop on, ride the wave, and of course hope that nobody puts two and two together, that he still receives more donations from Wall Street than any other politician out there. But the Occupy movement isn't a partisan one. In fact, it puts a plague on both houses. It spits on the entire system. And some staggering figures on poverty released by the Census Bureau yesterday, well, give us a good clue as to why. In 2010, poverty rose in almost every single state. Yet Congress can't even get a jobs bill passed in pieces, and the super committee is reportedly in gridlock over where to start the $1.2 trillion minimum in cuts. So how do those in the middle, libertarians, see this movement? Joining me to discuss it is Matt Welch, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine and co-author of The Declaration of Independence, How Libertarian Politics Can Fix What's Wrong with America. Matt, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me back.
So, yeah, it's been a while since we've had you on the show. And in fact, the last time that you were here, we were speaking about your book, The Declaration of Independence, the growing a number of independents in America. And so how do you take that and look at the Occupy Wall Street movement, right? And this, you know, this energy that we see that's angry with both parties, with the entire political system.
I think the most independent way to look at Occupy Wall Street is just to remark that this is happening under, it's a left-wing movement. There's no, just like the Tea Party is a right-wing movement, without any question. But it is happening under a Democratic president, which is something that the Tea Party, which many Tea Partiers themselves will tell you, did not do, and they feel a little bit embarrassed by it.
But it's a left-wing movement. Why? What about it makes it so obviously, or, you know, it is so specific that makes it a left-wing movement, per se? Because they're hippies?
Totally, because they're hippies. No, I covered the Nader 2000 campaign and some of the anti-World Trade Organization stuff in the late 90s, which again happened underneath under a Democratic president. And many of the signs, the concerns, the focus on corporations, I mean, they released one, as far as I know, official sort of statement, and it was patterned on the Declaration of Independence. Instead of the he for King George, it is the they of corporations. And they posit that the government is just a subsidiary of the corporations. This could be like cut and pasted from what I was watching in 1999 and 2000. So a lot of the concerns, we've had Jonathan Haidt, who's a really fascinating sociologist, I believe, at the University of Virginia, analyze signs of the protests here. And there's a consistent emphasis on fairness and caring, as he puts it, which are traditionally liberal kind of notions. However, all that aside, there is, as you point out, there is an attempt to make sure that they don't get co-opted by the Democratic sort of usual suspects. There is a strong dissatisfaction with the status quo. The question to me will be, will they, like the Tea Party, who they are on some levels trying to emulate consciously in saying that, will they?
And who you could say originally had the exact same concerns when it came to being, you know, angry about the banks being bailed out, angry about the collusion between the government and Wall Street, which is why I always find this so interesting that the two have to hate each other so much, or at least I feel like it's more coming from, you know, from the right wing. We had a Tea Partier on the show, and I kept trying to ask him, well, you know, don't you line up here in terms of values? Don't you line up here? And he only wanted to talk about how classless and dirty these
the
people
lineup,
are.
The lineup is here. It's corporatism in between that. There's going to be different ideas about how you got there, but both sides are completely against corporatism. It's no accident, I think, that the only two Republican presidential candidates who have said anything remotely positive towards this are Ron Paul and Gary Johnson. They're the libertarian types. The other thing
Mitt Romney tried to flip-flop a little bit, it was a pretty lame attempt.
But the other thing in common is just that the economy really sucks. I mean, it is, as you're referencing with the poverty statistics, people are really dissatisfied with the status quo, period. And so there's different ways to talk about that, but they're tapping into, one of the reasons why this thing is resonant and it's building and it's growing, is that that is a widespread kind of sentiment, as is the anti-bailout, anti-corporatism sentiment. The question will be, will their other sentiments get in there and kind of distract away from that? Or, you know, will the Occupy movement do as successfully as the Tea Party thing? And I don't think that they will. Focus on a single issue or a single, very limited number of issues, and then use independence as a weapon. The Tea Party movement used independence as a weapon against the Republicans to make Republicans do what they want. Can the Occupy movement do that with Democrats? That's the big question going
forward.
But
you think they should? right? You think they have to work within the political system. You think they have to somehow become a wing of the Democratic Party, try to push
it
more to the left.
Definitely not a wing. I mean, that's the point. The Tea Party has not become a wing of the Republican Party. It has tried to elect people who hate the Republican Party, like Rand Paul, and have been successful in that way. It's a very weird kind of dynamic.
But the Tea Party, I mean, when you talk about, you look at what's happening right now, right, in terms of this super committee that is in absolute gridlock. You look at this jobs bill that the president was trying to get passed. You couldn't do it all in one. Now he's trying to break it up in tiny little pieces. It's still, for the most part, Republicans versus Democrats. You don't see so many Tea Partiers straying in those negotiations.
Well, in fact, they're influencing it in ways that maybe you don't like, but they're part of the...
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, to the extent that they are actually pushing for limiting the size of government in ways that Republicans
and
have pushing, not done.
And pushing for a gridlock so that nothing actually gets done. But so in some ways, you know, I mean, isn't that that kind of philosophy? And, you know, there have been some stories out there about the Tea Party Nation trying to convince businesses just not to hire anybody so the economy can get even worse just so Obama doesn't get reelected. You know, you start thinking about these things as, do you want it to get as bad as it possibly can just because you have these political convictions and you don't want this guy to win again, you know, despite what it might mean for the rest of the country?
I don't think that's like an overweening desire among Tea Party people. I don't think they wake up in the morning like, how can we make this worse? It is, how can we have our values expressed? Turns out that their values are expressed in a way to basically stand athwart government and yell stop for the moment, which is unsatisfying for a lot of people for reasons that are kind of understandable. But that's kind of what is happening here. The parties are going to have to change the way that they respond to their own constituencies, because both of them essentially, when they're in power, govern in a similar, if not the same way. I mean, the bailouts started under Bush. The stimulus is started under Bush. These bad statistics are 10 years old. They're not 4 years old. You know, we have had net job loss in the private sector for 10 years. This is true even before the recent unpleasantness in the economy. So they're going to have to change the way that they address their core constituency. And so the question, I think, for the Occupy movement is, how do we want those values to be reflected just in terms of what are we going to ask for, if anything, and then how do we want to change behavior of people that we are otherwise semi-aligned with?
But do you think that, you know, civil disobedience, the way that they're doing it right now, occupying, being out on the streets, is that a way to do it? Because, you know, you look at the fact that poverty keeps on rising, you know, across the United States. What is it, 46.2 million people are now living in poverty? You know, the more people in poverty, probably the less apt they are to actually vote, to be a part of the political system. They're no longer a constituent the politicians really have to care about.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know exactly. You know, I'm the worst person to ask what's the best way to achieve a political goal. I am a magazine editor, for crying out loud. Certainly, they're getting attention.
You're from the Reason Foundation, right? Didn't you think this all through?
Yeah, exactly, right? It's the Rationality Foundation. No, but I mean, certainly, whatever they have done has changed what we're talking about in the country. Even Paul Krugman is right about that one concept. Then the question is, what goes next? I think, or I suspect and fear, just having been down the road with a lot of these same people, some of whom are very close friends of mine, that the kind of consensus model, the drum circle model of, you know, catch-all type of complaints and arguments out there has a ceiling of effectiveness. I think the Tea Party punches above its weight because the one thing that it counts, that it reinforces over and over again, is broadly popular. So will the Occupy movement find its one or two issues that are broadly popular and hit those really hard? I think that would make them more effective than wiggling their fingers in a certain way at the communal gatherings.
All right, Matt, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. And you mentioned the drum circle. I forgot to talk about the drum circle, which at the moment seems to be the most dividing factor, you know, when it comes to those occupiers in Zuccotti Park. And so I guess you just always have to see that something at the end of the day is going to divide them all. Thanks.
Thank you.